It's 1942 and the Japanese have just bombed Darwin. But as the Second World War rages overseas, a battle of a different sort's underway in the city of Brisbane. Our PF reviewer, journalist Victoria Laurie, is here to review the production Boundary Street, a jazz-infused period drama. You might remember we had James Morrison in the studio earlier this year and we heard some of the music from it then. Hi, Vicky.
Hello, Gillian.
So tell us what it's about.
Well, it's as you say, it is a sort of period piece that wants to look seriously at the, but with some overtones of, you know, comedy and lightness and music. It wants to look at the wartime period in Australia when sort of white Australia policy was current, and when African American soldiers came to Australia for shore leave and found that they were sort of subject to the same kind of racism as in the deep South back home. As, of course, Aboriginal people were. So then a club was created for them to, you know, meet up with Australians. And and the idea was that they... And that's based on a true story. So there's been a lot of research gone into this production, Boundary Street. And it traces the, you know, the couplings, if you like, the pairing up of some of these fabulous strutting G.I. Joes with some local girls. And to that extent, you know, that's all good. I was sitting watching it, though, and from the outset I was thinking, why are we in this venue? Why are we watching this sort of cabaret-style show with music and dance where intimacy and being the audience being wrapped around by, you know, fabulous music and dancing? It needed to be close to us, and there we were in the wonderful State Theatre Centre, probably the most inappropriate venue for this particular show, which is just such an irony.
It would have been, and I went to see it on Friday night, and I know what you mean about particularly closer to the musicians, closer to James Morrison.
Well, James Morrison is a star, I mean, of course. And, I mean, as somebody said to me on opening night, when you've got one of the world's best jazz trumpeters up there, make him part of the story. Give him a role. Give him make him part of the action. As you probably observed, James and the gorgeous chanteuse Emma Pask, the blonde bombshell, were sort of relegated to the shadows half the time. And this is sort of the clunkiness of this production. In many parts, it just doesn't seem to work. Now, having said that, it can improve, and you know, you could tell that there'd been bits cut out of the script, and that over time those sort of glaring bits will smooth over. This show will be tweaked, so if you've already bought tickets, do go along. You may disagree with everything that's been said.
Oh, and it's well worth seeing anyway. I mean, I think the music's fabulous and the dancing is fabulous. I would have liked to see more dancers, even if they didn't have speaking roles, just to give you more of a feeling of that club environment.
Yeah. Look, I think one of the problems it has got is that if anybody saw Waltzing the Willera, this is a similar sort of theme that has been dealt with, a cabaret-style environment, sort of racial tension. And Waltzing the Willera was performed in the Subiaco Theatre Centre, which is a smaller venue. The dancing was really, really jazzy and much closer to the audience. So they'd sort of achieved, I suppose, success in a way that this show hasn't yet.
I did really enjoy some of the acting performances, particularly the three American gentlemen who were playing the roles of the GIs overseas. What did you think?
Well, I think on opening night, I think they were up against it in lots of ways. I suspect it had been a very stressful week. I think they only had a week to bump in this show to a brand new venue with, as artistic director Kate Cherry said, you know, with them still learning how all this technology works. You know, they were ringing around all over town trying to find out how to make the technology work best. I did think that the trio were the best. They were jazzy, they were strutting their stuff, they danced really well, and they were fun. And I think they'll get better, even better. But, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but the bridge that is a sort of an emblematic part of this production It's a sort of mini Sydney Harbour Bridge type thing, if you like, that straddles the Brisbane River and over which the lovers meet, or on which the lovers meet and have their sort of romantic trysts. This thing was lowered and raised several times, and my understanding is that when it's lowered and raised, the actors aren't allowed to be under it on stage. It's a sort of occupational health and safety thing. And it creates these black holes of inactivity. I don't know if you noticed that, but sort of big chunks where nothing's happening.
Yes, I did. It felt like it could have been a whole lot tighter.
Yeah.
And well, you know, Victoria, Vicky, I was sitting next to a commenter, which... we're talking World War II, so there's some things that are quite obvious, and the gentleman sitting immediately to my left felt it necessary to point out quite loudly, not in even a whisper, John Curtin, MacArthur. He said, "That's James Morrison up there on the piano." And then he got a runny nose all the way through the second half. So I have to say that was a bit distracting. I really wish people wouldn't do that.
But you were there Friday night, were you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, on Saturday night the choreographers came on stage and did a little jive, and boy, was that good. And it gave you a hint of the potential for this show to just be jazzy and high-stepping and really exciting. And I think in a smaller venue, and remembering that this show is going on to Brisbane, to the Brisbane Festival, I think it could really then find its own feet and tap away.